Praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the sun expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We have another incredible life study of Genesis, and I'm very happy that Ed Marks is able to join us again for this very significant program. And Ed, welcome back.
It's a real privilege to be back again for another life study message on the book of Genesis, and especially as we're winding up this study of Genesis. I'm really thankful to be here for this program.
But we've had the absolute privilege before the Lord to work together on a number of these programs over these months. And I'd like to begin today by asking you just your impressions of the life study of Genesis and these messages that we have been handling.
Yes, of course, we have pointed out and we realize that this particular exposition of the book of Genesis is really a spiritual classic. And we call it a life study. It's a study in a particular sense, in that we want to see how God in Christ as the Spirit wants to be our life and our everything. Especially, I would just like to review for our listeners, you know, we've seen these 9 great men in the book of Genesis. We have seen a complete picture of the believer's experience of Christ as life for God's eternal purpose. With Adam, we saw the fall of man, the gospel, and Christ's redemption. And then when you come to Abel, you see that Abel presented offerings for fellowship with God, acceptable offerings. And with Abel, we see he was martyred because he was absolute for God. He took Christ as all his offerings to fellowship with God. And then when you come to Enosh in Genesis 4, you see that his name means mortal, fragile, frail man. But when we realize we're mortal, we're fragile, we're frail, we need to be those who call on the name of the Lord. And then we come to Enoch. We see Enoch walked with God. We need to be those who day by day walk with God by walking according to the Spirit. Then we come to Noah. Noah worked with God. So we need to be those who walk with God and who work with God for his purpose. Then we come to Abraham, and we see that Abraham lived by faith. As believers in Christ, we need to be those who live by faith, who build an altar to consecrate everything to God, who live in a tent, who are sojourners on this earth, and who cooperate with God to fight for our fellow believers in Christ, just as Abraham fought for Lot's rescue. Then with Isaac, we see that he inherited all the riches of God. And as believers in Christ, we can inherit all the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then finally, with Jacob, we see that we need to be transformed for God's building. And with Joseph, as an extension of Jacob, we see that we need to reign in Christ's life so that we can distribute all the riches of Christ to God's hungry ones, just as Joseph distributed all the riches of Egypt to the hungry ones on the earth. And this brings us to this next to the last program on Joseph as a person reigning in Christ's life for God's purpose. This is marvelous to see this complete picture.
It is a marvelous picture, Ed. Let's get directly to Witness Lee for the beginning of this life study from Genesis chapter 50.
Before we go on, we still have to see the last 2 points of Joseph being the type of Christ. The heavenly Joseph. He knows how much he has to exercise. the discipline over the brothers. When the right time comes, the testings, the trials will be over with Israel. After the termination of all the tests, Joseph right away revealed himself to his brothers. This typifies that one day will come, out of a sudden, to the surprise, Christ will reveal to the remnant of Israel. Right after the rapture of all the saints, Christ, with all the overcoming saints, will reveal from the heavens to firstly the Jews. By that time, they was, that little Jesus from Nazareth is our Messiah. Oh, he has been exalted. It was a surprise, a big surprise to Joseph's brothers. When Joseph told them, I am Joseph. Yeah. If I were there, I would be shocked. Yeah. Remembering what I did to Joseph. Joseph showed to his brother, by that day on this whole earth, no one was higher than Joseph. Even Joseph told his brothers he was the father of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was under him. Was under his instruction. Christ will reveal himself to the remnant of Israel with all his exaltation and glory. Then the reign of the millennium will come in. And then all the remnant of the Jews will participate in the enjoyment of Christ's 1,000-year reign. Here you can see eventually the brothers of Joseph enjoyed the best land, right? The best portion, the top portion of the land in Egypt. And they enjoyed all the good things. And I tell you, this is also a tap. Under the 1,000-year millennium, the Jews will enjoy the top things of this earth. All the good things will be brought to Jerusalem as a kind of offering to God. You better read Zechariah chapter 14. You could see this. Whatever will be offered to God, that will be a portion of the Jews. You know the story in the Old Testament? Whatever offered to God, that was the portion for the priests. And we all have to know, in the coming 1,000 years, all the remnant of Jews will be what? Praise. Amen. Teaching the people on this earth in a specific way to worship God and to bring their top portion to Jerusalem. Amen. For God's enjoyment.
Ed, we have been seeing this incredible portrait of Christ and his dealings with the nation of Israel. And this is fully typified by Joseph and his brothers. Prophetically, Ed, what happens to the Jews in the fullness of this dispensation, and how does this parallel our picture here in Genesis?
Yes, there's a marvelous parallel to this picture in Genesis. With Joseph, we see that he tested his brothers. In a sense, he disciplined his brothers. He exposed himself to his brothers to realize that actually, he was the ruler over the entire land of Egypt. He even told his brothers he was a father to Pharaoh. That meant intrinsically, he was above Pharaoh. He was the ruler of the land. Well, when Christ returns, if you look at Zechariah 12, verse 10, this verse tells us that when Christ returns, the remnant of the Jews in Israel, they will look upon Christ, the one whom they pierced, and they'll repent, and they'll mourn over him. And they will see that actually Jesus of Nazareth, that little man who they thought was insignificant and who was nothing, that he is the one who is their Messiah, who is their Christ. He is the exalted one, the enthroned one, the one who is in glory. Just as Joseph revealed himself to his brothers as the one who was enthroned, Joseph gave the best portion of the land to his brothers. That was the top portion of the land in Egypt. In the same way, when Christ returns, the remnant of the Jews in Israel will participate in the enjoyment of his thousand-year reign in the millennium. In Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19, this verse reveals that all the nations will have to come to Jerusalem to worship God. And the remnant of the Jews will be the priests enjoying the top portion of Christ as the nations bring their offerings to worship God. So we can see that this picture with Joseph finds its fulfillment with the remnant of the Jews in the fullness of the dispensation of the kingdom when Christ returns.
Thank you, Ed. Let's go back to Witness Lee for more of today's life study.
When you open up the New Testament, in the first book, the book of Matthew, on the one hand, it reveals Christ to us. And on the other hand, it reveals God's kingdom to us. And how this God's kingdom could be realized by us? By denying ourselves. The kingdom of God could be realized by Joseph's time with all his brothers just because he was a self-denying person. I would say, in human history, you could never find out such a character as Joseph. He denied himself and rendered the adequate, the necessary, the needed discipline to his brothers. To be good people living together as God's testimony on this earth. I have done everything to you, brothers. You are now short of nothing. You just go back with thanks to God to see the Father and bring him back. Just one thing I'm concerned for, that you may fight on the way. So don't quarrel. Don't quarrel. Have you ever seen such a forgiver?
No.
Be not grieved, nor angry with yourself. Because God did that to send me here to preserve life. God's purpose needs your remnant. God has chosen you as the remnant of Jacob because God's intention was to use the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to build what? A tabernacle on this earth. To set up a kingdom on this earth. Joseph was a person realizing God's purpose. He would give his brother a thank you. Thank you, you have sold me. Otherwise, how could I be here? Without that kind of hatred, those dreams could never be fulfilled. Joseph realized in such a thorough way, so it was easy for him to forgive his brothers mistreating. And Romans 8:28 does say, all things work together for the good of those who love God.
Amen.
We all have to thank the Lord. We need such realization.
Amen.
So don't complain. Don't blame. Whatever your dear wife would do to you, whatever your dear husband would do to you, all things work together.
Amen.
For those who love God.
Amen.
The key is here, depending upon whether you love him or not.
Amen.
Consider, without the silence of the brothers, by what way Joseph could suffer. And by what way Joseph, as a natural and young man, could be trained to be a ruler. No way. He needed all those sufferings. what he did altogether was for the perfection of the brothers. He did nothing for himself. He was fully a self-denying person. Then, in order to strengthen his brothers, he showed his exaltation and glory to the brothers.
Ed, we have in this passage a picture of Joseph's life being linked to a well-known scripture in the New Testament, Romans 8:28. How does the story of Joseph connect to a proper understanding of this verse?
Yes, I hope that everyone that's listening would see this wonderful truth that relates to our experience of Christ as life. Romans 8:28 is a well-known verse. It says, "All things work together for good to those who love God." And all of us need to be lovers of God. Well, the seed of the truth of this verse is in Genesis. Joseph went through tremendous sufferings. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was treated unjustly and evilly by his brothers. He was in prison for a long time. Of course, under God's sovereignty, he was released from prison and he became the ruler over the known world at that time. Well, what Joseph's realization was is seen in what he says to his brothers when he reveals himself to them. He says, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves that you sold me into the land of Egypt, for God sent me before you to accomplish God's purpose." This is in Genesis 45:5. And then in Genesis 50, verse 20, this is a marvelous verse. Joseph tells his brothers, he says, "As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." This is the truth in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. We need to see that all the things that happen to us, we may have bad things happen to us, unkind things, things in our environment that press us, that cause us suffering. But if we love God, God means it for good. The good here isn't that everything would turn out great in our environment, everything would be wonderful. According to Romans 8:28, God uses everything in our environment, if you look in verse 29, to conform us to the image of God's Son. So God uses everything in our environment when we love him for good. And what is the good? The good is that we would gain God, that we would be filled with God, that we would be transformed and conformed into the very image of Christ.
It's an incredibly vivid portrayal of the outworking of that verse, isn't it, Ed?
Yes, it's really marvelous, and we need to be those who are lovers of God, no matter what our environment is, so that we can be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Now we come to a crucial point. Joseph sent his invitation to his father. My point is this. When he got to be the ruler of this earth, and he was becoming 30 years of age, don't you believe that he desired to kiss his father? If he did, why he didn't do something from here? He could send a lot of chariots, an army, from Egypt to here to find his father. Why he didn't do it? Until what? 7 years of good year, right? 2 years of bad year. Here, within these 9 years, he didn't do anything. He had the power to do it. He had everything to do it. Could you tell me why he didn't? Suppose you were Joseph. Would you not do it? He was altogether under the sovereignty of God. He didn't like to initiate anything. Lord, it was you who sent me here. Lord, it was you who brought me through all the sufferings, Lord, it was you also who put me on the throne. It was you who kept me from my father. Lord, you did everything. It has been all of you. I surely dare not to do anything. I like to wait for your sovereign time. We all have to learn the lesson by ourselves. Just wait. Keep ourselves under his sovereignty. Let him initiate something. Whatever should be done, it has to be initiated by him. Now you can see how sweet is the record. There's not one bit that needed Joseph to regret. Why? Because he was altogether under God's guidance. If you are not a self-denying person, there's no way for God's kingdom to be realized. Under God's restriction is the best discipline for all of us to be prepared to pick up the kingship in the coming age. Here you can see a mature life, all the time under restriction. Eventually, Joseph welcomed his father and all his brothers, and he took good care of all of them. Then God's kingdom was there. For 9 years, he didn't go to see his father, and he didn't do anything. This is the real self-denial, and this is the real bearing of the cross.
Ed, this final portion today is all about Joseph's reigning by his denying of himself. On the surface, this may seem odd. He was placed in a situation, eventually, where he was in control of everything, and in one sense, he had to answer to no one. And outwardly, it looks that way. But what are the signs that inwardly, here was a person fully denying himself and rejecting his natural life?
Yes, I would like to emphasize this point, that the main point of denying ourselves and of bearing the cross is that we refrain from doing what we have the power to do. Joseph was the ruler of the known world at that time. He had the power to do anything. But Joseph didn't seek revenge against his brothers. He refrained from doing what he had the power to do. Once Joseph was appointed the ruler in the land, he had the power to go back to reveal himself to his father, Jacob. But he waited 9 years to do this. This shows that he refrained from doing what he had the power to do. He denied himself. We can see that here he is, he's the ruler, and he realized God sent me here. He brought me through all these sufferings. He put me on the throne. So now that I am the ruler over the known world, even though I have the power to do everything, I will not initiate anything in myself. I will take God as my source, and I will allow him to initiate everything, and I will be a person who is absolutely under God's guidance. When we are absolutely under God's restriction and God's guidance, then we can reign in life with him in this age, and ultimately we will be co-kings with him to reign with him for 1,000 years in his millennial kingdom.
For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.